This is KVNF Regional News. It's Wednesday, February 19th. I'm Patricia Naft. Starting today, the state of Colorado is reviewing new air quality rules for the oil and gas industry. The rules are designed to reduce air pollution from drilling. Three of the state's largest oil and gas companies have already said they support the new stricter rules. So does the Environmental Defense Fund, a centrist environmental group. But other industry groups say they were left out of the rulemaking process, and some local environmental groups say the revised air quality rule is still too weak. KGNU's Jim Pullen has more.
Some environmental organizations want the revisions strengthened. Weld Air and Water, Grand Valley Citizens Alliance, and other citizen groups want better protection from poisonous volatile organic compounds like toluene. Matt Sura, the group's attorney, says that loopholes allow operators to place wells closer than the 500-foot setback adopted by the State Oil and Gas Commission last year. He says that the proposed Midtown Directional in downtown Greeley is an example.
They're looking at squeezing 37 wellheads and associated tanks onto this five-acre parcel that is surrounded by homes. In fact, there's an apartment complex right next to it, within 350 feet.
The citizen groups also want more frequent inspections and for companies to fix leaks quickly or shut down wells until repairs can be made. Another issue is ozone pollution. 9 Front Range counties are in violation of the U.S. Clean Air Act's ozone requirements. VOCs and nitrogen dioxides leaking from oil and gas operations are important chemical precursors to ozone. An environmental attorney and air quality expert, Bob Yonke, says that the proposed limits on those gases are inadequate.
And what we see in our analysis is that they will not reduce emissions back down to the level of 2008, which is when we almost complied with the federal standard.
The revisions only call for emission limits on a per-well basis. Yonke says that more wells will lead to more pollution, so he is asking the commission to put a limit on regional emissions.
So the other thing that's needed, which no one is talking about, is a cap on those emissions so that the industry has to live within what is environmentally tolerable, which is the level needed to protect our health.
Although three industry giants helped craft the regulations, the Colorado Petroleum Association and the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, or COGA, say that the rest of the industry, including small operators, were largely left out of the process. Nevertheless, COGA spokesperson Doug Flanders says that the industry largely supports the rules. A salient feature of the proposed rules is to regulate all hydrocarbons, including the potent greenhouse gas methane. Indeed, if the rules are adopted, Colorado would be the first state to regulate methane. COGA argues that the Air Quality Control Commission doesn't have the authority to regulate hydrocarbons generally and methane in particular. Flanders says that the industry wants to focus on Front Range ozone compliance and that the western part of the state is already meeting EPA requirements.
The air is different in different parts of the state, so let's take that into consideration before we move forward with all the new air rules as a one-size-fits-all.
While Flanders says that the industry is not asking for rule exemptions on the West Slope, in their pre-hearing statements, COGA and the Colorado Petroleum Association request that the commission limit adoption of the proposed rules to the ozone non-attainment area, the 9 counties on the Front Range. Regardless of their differences, both the industry groups and the citizens and environmental organizations are encouraging the public to testify at the hearings. For KGNU, this is Jim Pullen.
A bill that would have allowed cities and towns to extend bar closing times past 2 a.m. failed in the State House on Monday. The sponsor asked lawmakers to defeat the measure because of a lack of support. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Democratic Representative Crisanta Duran of Denver says the bill's demise came after the Restaurant Association and other business groups came out against it. They were okay with extending hours, but they didn't support a provision that would have made it easier for communities to shorten hours in some cases.
At the end of the day, we just need some more time to look at some of the different compromises and possible solutions.
Advocates of the bill said it would reduce crime and the number of DUIs. Hillary Lyon lives in the Roaring Fork Valley near Carbondale.
You know, if they're open later and people aren't like, oh gosh, I got to get to the bar and I got to get out of here at 2. It's going to kind of open some things up to people's drinking times, period. when they want to be at the bar, when they don't want to be at the bar, and you're not going to see this huge mad rush of people driving.
But opponents argue longer drinking hours would lead to more violence and neighborhood disturbances. They also worried that different closing times in different cities would cause more people to bar hop. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Now let's follow up on our report from yesterday of a fatal avalanche over the weekend. A combination of record snow, wind, and warming temperatures created a disaster in the backcountry when two skiers were killed on the east side of Independence Pass. The state's Avalanche Center says it has not seen such large, destructive avalanches in 20 years. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin spoke with John Snook, a forecaster at the Colorado Avalanche Information Center.
So the Colorado Avalanche Information Center is saying we're in the midst of an historic avalanche cycle. Where does that apply and what does that mean?
We've had quite a bit of snow in the northern and central zones of Colorado. So this is basically from the Crested Butte area north and east through the Wyoming border. In these areas, new snowfall since the end of January has been around 75 to 100 inches. So we have quite a bit of snow in the backcountry, and now we're seeing some really large avalanches as a result.
And what are these avalanches like? Can you tell me a little bit about how the snow has kind of layered and stacked up to create these dangerous conditions?
Yeah, since the beginning of the season, we've had a pretty typical Colorado snowpack with the usual weak layers in the snowpack. We have these facets that are like sugar snow or ball bearing at the bottom of the snowpack. And we put layers on top of that. And now we've put really heavy load on top of that in the last couple of weeks. So these new avalanches are running both naturally and as well as human triggered. And they're breaking down into those old snow layers. And the result is really very, very large avalanches.
And one of those avalanches happened over the weekend. What happened on Star Mountain, on Independence Pass in Lake County Saturday?
Tragically, five folks got caught in a very, very large avalanche on Saturday on Star Mountain, just east of Independence Pass. They were all skiing down the slope at the same time when the avalanche triggered, and all five were caught. Unfortunately, two of those folks resulted in death, and three of those ended up in the hospital. Yeah, we're just getting preliminary results from the accident investigation, but from what we're hearing right now, the slide near Independence Pass is on a destructive scale of 4 out of 5, which is about as large as it gets in Colorado. Avalanche that size can take out trees that are more than a couple hundred years old. It can destroy a house if it were to hit a house. It could also push over a railroad car.
Was that avalanche kind of typical for the conditions that exist right now?
We haven't seen slides of this size probably for 20 years, but with the very large amount of snow that we received in the last 2 weeks, it's not surprising to see avalanches this large.
And over the weekend, the Colorado Avalanche Information Center advised skiers and boarders to steer clear of the backcountry altogether. Are you still advising people to stay out of the backcountry?
We only recommend very experienced folks to head out into the backcountry right now. If you're not experienced with how to manage terrain in avalanche country, then it's still best to stay out of the backcountry right now until the avalanche danger diminishes. With the warmer weather and sunny skies over the next couple days and lighter winds, we do expect to see a gradual improvement, diminishing avalanche danger. But this is the time to still really be wary that avalanches can still occur and they can be very large.
John, thanks for your time.
Okay.
That was Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin speaking with avalanche forecaster John Snook. Stay tuned for the Wednesday morning music mix with Jeff Reynolds. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia.